Mark Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:49 Central African time. Consciously connected, keeping you company this morning. What a beautiful, beautiful, lovely interview with a young man called Zakir Kadra. Really fishing, bringing it alive. And you can still see one fish is still flapping that in. But at that time of the morning, where we join our very own counselor, Ahmed Tarek, on his segment called Straight Talk. Ahmed, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alana salam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, beautiful, shiny Sunday morning, Shafat, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I tell you, morning has broken. It's a Sunday morning, and alhamdulillah, inshallah, you'll have a beautiful and a mashallah day. And I'm looking at life, and alhamdulillah, I must describe to you when I went to the function where Ahmed had the launching of the ambulances. And there, as I walked in, Ahmed Pada came out and held my hands, people. Kya muhabbat hai, kya muhabbat hai. He held my hands and said, Shafat, Jazakallah for coming. Come, I'll show you something. And there he took me to an ambulance, 1.5 million rand ambulance, people. He said, that is a stretcher. There's the oxygen. This is where the paramedics come, and this is what they do, and that. And I was enthralled. And then his team came, those paramedics. They already got them in place. And there was all these other people that came. I don't know, who are you? I said, no, I'm with Parak, and okay, this and that. A lovely launch indeed, and Ahmed Tarek, as we say, he has made a lot of du'as. He's got a lot of visions and a lot of ambitions, and these are one of his ambitions that have come through. But Ahmed, before we get into kafan dafan, and you had that initiation there, talk to us about it. What went through your mind? And alhamdulillah, it was good to hear you talk and so forth. But tell the ummah, what's your other vision so far? You have unveiled everything. Talk to us, Ahmed.
Shafad, alhamdulillah, with your people's duas, our listeners, when there's a need, I always look for, in my, over the years, I've always looked for niche market, where, people look for a niche market in the business sector. I look for a niche market for the community. And when I found this niche market, that there was a huge need for a fully fledged ambulance service for our community, and that's when I got. But I was toying around with this idea from like 2018. Then COVID came, so we had to just take a step back. And I went to Joburg with seeing Sabri Kisti. I went and saw the 786 Rescue 786, where it's run in Joburg by the Monana Haber and his team. And when they started with one, and today they got five ambulances, and alhamdulillah, when I went actually two, three times there just to get the feel of it, see how it's going to work, to make sure if I bring it to KZN, whether it will be benefit to the community, because there is other services, paid services from various other sectors, from the other communities and everything. What is the need? Why we want to do it? And I did a proper due diligence. And then after COVID, and in fact, if I brought it before COVID, it should have been the right time, because at that time, COVID made people, the patients on whoever had COVID, they needed us badly. Unfortunately, we didn't have the ambulance or anything. Then recently, about 6 to 8 weeks ago, when we, with load sharing, when I lady in one of the flats in Durban and surrounding, at the 8th floor, when the lifts are not working and she felt very, very ill, I took out my belt, I tied it with the chair so that she don't fall or anything. And Shafat, it was a mission bringing her down 120 plus kilograms from the 8th floor on with the stairs, coming right down to the ground floor, putting her in a car and taking her to the hospital. Then I said, no, this is not on. I have to do this thing very, very, because if we were bringing her down and we fell or whatever happened, she should have been hurt very, very badly. And this is not our game. It is a paramedic game who will have to come there. They got a stretcher. They can walk downstairs. They can do that. They feel why are we wasting time? And then I put a team together, a young team. I put a vibrant team together, and I said, this is what I want. I'm putting this thing together. Then Kim from Baker's Builders, he came on board. He said, no, Munro, you can't do it alone. Come and join us. We also had a vision like this previously, and it was shelved. You know the know-how. Come, we want to partner with you. And that's how I brought him on board. And alhamdulillah, yesterday we had our launch, and we started with one. And, you know, Allah does things in a mysterious way. Somebody found us from Joburg. They said, you know what, we bought a whole lot of vehicles from an auction, and there's an ambulance here. We're sending it down to you. And the guy told, one of the guys said to us that, you know what, don't worry. I've got some surplus money. We will pay for this year. And as soon as whenever you got the money, we know who you are, you will pay us back. So that's how we managed to. We got the second vehicle. The first vehicle is fully kitted. The second vehicle, we just have to kit it a little bit more. And as of tomorrow, inshallah, we're on the road, Shafat. We got a fully fledged team. We have employed eight paramedics with the general manager. You saw our base is ready. Everything is ready. We're ready to rock and roll tomorrow. If we get a call, we are there to assist the community. Our next mission from here is to put one in Phoenix, where it will give Phoenix that upper area of Tongaat, Phoenix, Verulam, Amaslanga area, and then we want to put one in the south, like in Spingo Beach or somewhere in Chatswood around there where there's a highly dense population, and then one in Port Jackson, and then one going up to that way, maybe we'll put it in standard that can service right up to Zululand, Impangani, Richards Bay, and all that. That's our vision. Inshallah, by next year, we should be fully geared to control the whole province here, inshallah. Shafan, this is our mission, and this is what we have earmarked to put together, and it came together, Shafan. You know what? Whenever you do anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have got a clean intention, what you want to do, it will come together, Shafat.
I tell you, if there's a problem in the neighborhood, who are you going to call? Ahmad Parak. Yeah, remember that. If there's a problem in the neighborhood, who are you going to call? Ahmad Parak. There's a question here for you, Ahmad. It says, Dear Ahmad Bhai, Jazakallah Khair, you are simply tops. Please tell me, what's the top speed on an ambulance? Is it over 200 kilometers? Because they need to be fast. Ahmad, what's the top speed?
Top speed, you can go anything from 180 kilometers to 240 kilometers, Shafat. Shafat, are you there?
Ahmad, you can hear me, yeah. The question was, do they have to put the lights on and just move? And you need to have a very good driver, and the driver is also a paramedic, Ahmad.
Shafat, these drivers are fully trained. They go through this thing, we send them. In fact, we did before they joined us on the 1st of December, we did a proper due diligence on them in terms of the track record in accidents and everything else. The vehicle goes up to from anything from 180 kilometers to 240 kilometers because they need to be moving, and our turnaround period is around 6 minutes to get to the scene. Or to the home or to the hospital to remove the your survival period for an ambulance is under 30 minutes. So you need to do anything under 30 minutes. If you go anything over 30 minutes, and you know you're putting that risk of that patient into jeopardy. So that's why you have to be fully geared up in whatever you're doing when it comes to this ambulance service, Shaman.
Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes before we go to the news. But talk to us about the team you have recruited. And, you know, what guidance that you'll be giving them as stipend. I mean, some allowance and that. So in other words, most of them that will be driving for you are those that will be doing it on a very voluntary basis, Ahmad?
No, Shafat. All these nine people, they are top earners. The manager gets a very, very healthy salary who runs the whole paramedics base for us. And these are, you know, the paramedics get anything from 12.5 to 15,000 rand a month. So all of them are in that bracket. So our wage bill is in the region of about 120,000 rand per month. So you can't just bring anybody because people's life is at stake here. So therefore, you've got to make sure you can't just bring. What we do is there is volunteers that we train. And whenever our paramedics go, they don't do anything. They just stand and see because you're not allowed to touch or anything when you go out with this thing. Only volunteers are used when we've got special events and everything else, you know, when there's a sports, when sports take place or there are the youth soccer matches, cricket or anything. Where anything more than 500, you need, the law is that you need an ambulance service on a standby day. So firstly, the CR issue, Ramaphosa is not going to resign. He's not going to throw in the towel just like that. He's going to, in terms of the Section 89 Act, where the retired judge, Zandile Ngobo, gave the verdict to Parliament on Wednesday last week. He's not just going to give in the throw in the towel just like that because he's got still, he still can take this whole matter on review. And I think he's going to buy this time for him to get into the second term with the national conference next week. So if he can pass that, then only. But the Tigers are out for it. But the big plus factor he has, he's got Stellenbosch behind him, and he's got the support with him. So that is the way the difference is. But he's going to be, you know, it's still early days. But a lot of other things that unravel. When you're having like 600 million USD, what is being at in your house? And some of this money is what earmarked for ANC and some of the other political parties. So none of this money has actually reached them or anything like that. So I think there he might just drown himself there. But there's early days, there's today and tomorrow when the NEC is meeting. And from there, they will have to make a decision. Because personally speaking, even if he takes it on review, the point they're going to raise is on that is there's a lot of non-disclosure on that side of it, and I don't think he's got a leg to stand on it because there's a lot, they have got a lot of ammunition and Arthur Fraser, that affidavit will actually sink him. So, you know, anything can happen, but he has got one big option in terms of Section 89 that he can take it on a review. Then the other plus factor Russia is saying about the crude oil, and if they can keep it at 60 US dollars for Brent crude oil, then it will give all the other Middle Eastern countries and all a wake up call, because the other countries and the OPEC is in the region of 90 US dollars. So that is going to be seen how this thing is going to flare out there. Then the same blood donation that is coming through, and this is a very, very interesting part, Shafat, is that, you know, there's a huge shortage of blood at the moment in the country. For blood transfusion, there's a massive, massive delays and there's a shortage. And if this thing comes into play, it obviously is going to be a big plus factor for all the hospitals. Then the fingerprinting biometric for visas for the Saudi have introduced, that will be a good sign that it will make it easier and it will expedite the process in getting visas and all, like how we got the biometric in South Africa. It will help to a huge extent. Then the spy tape that is and the laptop of President Biden of USA from 2020. You see, these guys, they always got their allies all over, and somewhere along the line, they make one mistake, and everything is opened up. And this is what happens in politics, Shafat.
Absolutely, a brilliant summary from you, Ahmed, and I do appreciate you for that. A little bit more about the Stellenbosch Mafia. I mean, it seems, you know, you had that gut feeling, you know, he will try and stay there. But as you said, you know, the evidence against him is very incriminating. You know, the NEC are already, Nkosi Zana's Dlamini Zuma has asked him to step aside. Thabo Mbeki is looking for him. He reckon I got a whole lot to tell him and so forth. But the money talks, Ahmed, your thoughts?
That is the big plus factor. And, you know, if from the 600 million, dollars. You know, he bought himself the first time. Second time, I'm not sure if he can do that, Shafat, but you know what? They need a president. That you see, we must also understand in South Africa, this country, although it's been run by a black president, it's still been controlled by the white corporate in this country. And all international funds and funding comes from overseas. They're still called the shots. So they want one of their people. And Ramaphosa is one of their people. That's when we say Stellenbosch is behind them. This is how it works, Shafat.
Yeah, Ahmed, I'm looking at a message on the screen. It says, Ahmed Tariq, Jazakallah khair for coming on to Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We really look forward to this program. And Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan, you are also top. So Jazakallah khair for that. We humble. He says, yes, Ahmed Tariq, you're absolutely right. If you pay peanuts, you get monkeys working for you. But Alhamdulillah, bless you for paying those paramedics the right salary. And Allah give you barakah. Ahmed, this is a very valid point indeed. Talk to us.
Shafat, you know, when these are paramedics, they are fully trained, fully qualified, professional. We cannot take a chance and send any paramedic to come to to a patient and pick up, because you need oxygen. You need, sometimes they need to have to give an injection. We cannot just send anyone there and get our volunteers to do that type of work. It's not possible, because then we will get sued in terms of the law. So therefore, and we have to take massive cover in not one million or 2 million. We need a massive cover for like 20, 30 million for because anything can go wrong. They can sue NMJ Rescue 786. So we have to take that cover as well. So all that I have to put in place this week before the vehicle goes out on the road. So we cannot take a chance, because a lady might be suffering from pressure, or whatever, she had a heart complication. So we have to first assess. When the paramedic goes there, they take the blood, they do the, not the blood, actually the pressure, making sure they get some quick history, family history of the patient and all that. Then they know what's happening, and then they have to move quickly. And while you're on the road from the house to the hospital, there's which they call a call doctor on standby. My paramedics are actually speaking to the doctor. We are transporting so and so. This is the condition. They're telling us from the hospital to our ambulance, telling them exactly how to treat the patient as well, what to give to, because then the doctor is receiving on the hospital side. So immediately they take her through there. Maybe it has to go to theater in some cases. Some cases you have to go into the ward immediately to do a proper checkup, take blood and everything. This is because it's a survival game, yeah, because, you know, you have to make sure you're giving the right dosage of medication and everything.
You know, Ahmed, you mentioned the word, yeah, logistics, and logistics is a very important thing. And, you know, it's amazing that you know the ins and outs, how to work without that. I met a gentleman there, Mr. Milani, and he was talking to me about, you know, what a powerful team you all have around you. And, you know, it's just things that we, as public, we only see that ambulance, but the paperwork, the logistics, and doing many other things and working within the framework or the governmental laws or the health laws. I mean, that's so important, Ahmed. And, you know, it requires a lot of time. How do you find time to do this balancing act?
Shafat, fortunately, you know, when I went into this year, I made sure I handpicked the right people. I brought a top trust manager, Masha, who is employed by us, and we brought her 1 month prior to our launch and everything. She put the act together, and we made sure we brought the right paramedics on board too, because end of the day, you know, there's a three shift. They work 4 days and 3 days they're off. So, so they've got the rest days and everything, because they are on call. So therefore, we need to make sure that we have the right team to do this work here. Otherwise, should have been wasting our time. You know, you cannot do an ambulance service if you haven't got the right people.
looking at a message on the screen, and it's from Ghulam. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tariq, you're a top man, and Jazakallah, Bru Chef, you got the right over there. He says, I want to know from Ahmed what precautions they have taken, because recently we saw a lot of paramedics and ambulances getting robbed. Allah forbid, may this not happen to us, but I'm just saying. Ahmed, how do you respond to Ghulam? I mean, it's a very valid point indeed.
Shafat, this paramedics as well as the tow truck business is run by mafia. And you know what, they hijack these vehicles. Therefore, we're not going to do any MVA cases, any accidents, unless we're driving through. And if there's an accident, the law says you have to stop first. Although we're en route to somewhere else, we will have to stop there and radio to our base and say, there's an accident here. We are first here. We have to stop, see to the patient, and then move on. And then we move, the base will send another vehicle to the patient where they're supposed to have gone. So the issue is that when it comes to things like that, you have to be on the beat, making sure that you are doing the right thing here. And as far as the ambulance is concerned, we got cameras in the vehicle. So we know exactly the patient's movement, what is happening in this thing. So the base knows what is happening. The vehicle that has got tracker is insured properly so that we don't have a problem or anything like that. Because you know what, these vehicles, they can have a bogus call out and they rob you for the vehicle and they rob our paramedics and all that stuff. And in few cases, some of the ambulance service, they were called out to Asia. Had a call out, they went there, the poor female paramedics was raped actually as well.
Yeah, sad indeed. And Rafiq says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I want to know, as a Garib, what are my chances of the ambulance taking me to the right hospital? Do I have to pay a heavy price if I'm in the ambulance? And am I judged by not having a medical aid? I don't know if you got the gist of what Rafiq is saying, but I've got an inkling of an idea. Your response there, Ahmed?
Shafat, when he said the word first thing, the first word came out from his mouth, I'm a Garib. Me, I'm like a Garibul Nawaz. You know me. If you got it, you must pay. If you don't have, you don't pay. So if you zakatable, we will do it absolutely free of charge. If you got medical aid will pay us. But if you cannot afford it, a doctor phones us and tells us, you know what, NMJ Rescue 786, we got a patient, he's very, very ill in our surgery. I have treated this patient, it need to go to the hospital. I have not charged a cent for my services. Please pick up this patient, take the patient to the government hospital. That is our job. We will do it absolutely free of charge. We will not charge one cent. That is the reason I came with this service. Like when I started the burial, people could afford it, they must pay. If they cannot afford it, fee sabilillah shafat.
Looking at this message, it says here, Assalamu alaikum, me, Bhai Shafat, I'm Pakistan. I like Ahmed work. Please tell him, come show up, I give donation for ambulance. If he want, a Pakistani association, give one ambulance too. Jazakallah, Mera Bhai. Ahmed, there's an invitation there. How you respond?
Firstly, we must tell the brother, Jazakallah, Pakistani Association. I know the president very well too. Since you are saying the Pakistani Association can give us one ambulance, Alhamdulillah, give us one more ambulance. It will help us because we can post that ambulance maybe in Phoenix to service the North Coast. That will help us big time. If he's got any funding, he can always contact us, or we can give you on air our banking details, which is Standard Bank. Lilla account is 051-241-854. I repeat, is 051-241-854. That is the Lilla account. If you got Zakat money, our Zakat account is 051-241-676. That is the Zakat. If anyone wants to put any one of our listeners, want to put it in this noble cause where we'll be able to serve the community, it is for them. This service is for the community. It's not Ahmed Parak services. It is not NMJ service. It is for the community and humanity at large. This is our aim and objective.
Well, the beauty is, let's call a spade here, the NMJ or the Netan Mehman Jamaat, they're always in the forefront. And whenever you had a vision or you wanted to do something, they always gave you that hope and that backing. Then how much does that mean to you?
Shafat, you know, I go back with AV when the NMJ was actually, when from my office, AV was working, you know, my... AV did not have an office, so I had an additional office at my place. I gave my office and all AV's work, AV Muhammad's, Dr. AV Muhammad's work, my secretary used to type, you know, used to. By the way, when it comes to writing, Shafat, you won't beat that man. He will write a letter for you and just give it to the PA. PA don't have to look at anything. And she'll type it out and the letter is ready. And then one thing about AV also, whenever a letter was written by my PA, if he will always phone and tell my PA, Nazima, do me a favor, just run it through to Ahmed if there's any spelling errors or anything, if he's happy with it, put their PP and let him sign it and send it. And that's how I learned a lot from him. And when it came to constitution, Shafat, you won't beat him. Any constitution... any religious organization constitution, he is a fundi. When I mean, he's better than an advocate, he's better than a lawyer. When he reads that thing and when he puts it together, I have never seen somebody like that, Shafat. So you know what? That's how AV, I came to know AV when he started LNJ, the hall, the facility and everything. And you know what? When he took that place, in no time, in one night, they collected the money for the premises, for the land, and they put the building and everything up, Shafat.
Yeah, he's definitely a go-to man, and mashallah, Allah has already given him a lot of hikmah. And as you said, you know, he knows a lot of the bylaws and the constitution and how to make a preamble and so forth. And also, you know, what is intriguing, I mean, he spoke about the... burial council, you know, the Islamic burial council, and how you and him got together, and this brainchild started off with you and him having a meeting. Talk to us about that, Ahmed.
Shafat, you know, we had few concerned brothers. We put this whole thing together, and then we called up the launch. In other words, we called up. We want to launch Islamic burial council at the Beit al Firdaus, and one of the questions came: who is going to head this thing? The interim chairman. And my name came up that Ahmed Farak will be the interim chairman and will head it, and he will put this whole thing together. And we had at that time about 27 or 28 burial societies in the whole of the province. And I don't belong to any burial society, not Bayview, Durban, Overport, Ladysmith, Newcastle, Verulam, Tongat. I don't. It is my brainchild with AV and concerned brothers. We put it together. But I don't belong to a burial services. I'm not with them or anything like that. And at that time, the NMJ, they had their own burial service. He put up his hand, Shafat, he got up. He said, Ahmed Farak will represent the NMJ Burial Society. Everybody got stunned there at that meeting. And they said, there it is. So he told me, after the meeting, see, I put for you, you work with NMJ Barrier Service, you run this organization, I want you to take it to another level. And that's what I did in 25 years. I'm almost done with national. There's three more provinces I have to do in the country. And by next year, inshallah, we'll have a national body, Islamic Burial Council, national body as well.
I tell you, straight talk definitely taken another dimension this morning, but it is all, you know, powered by spirituality. And alhamdulillah, speaking haq and talking from the heart, Ahmed Farak flowing with a lot of information also, you know. And Ahmed, you know, how important it is for us to look at these elders in our community. You know, they're going away and soon there'll be no more there. You know, they leave such a big vacuum, you know, something that cannot be replaced, even people like yourself. I mean, y'all are just unique, one in a million, Ahmed.
Shafat, you know, if you take the NMJ, I was like shocked. they have got, you know, they got, the NMJ runs a whole lot of the services, various, you know, they got a feeding scheme, they got plenty, you know, the distribution, they got, you know, madrasas, the NMJ hall, and then they have taken a policy that, you know, Kim is the vice president of the vice chairman of the NMJ, Natal Memon Jamaat. So he's in line to, in when the election comes next year, that's why you are telling me that he's in line to become the chairman of the NMJ, Natal Memon Jamaat. And they have recruited only youngsters. And that's the vision I had many years ago. Even in our rescue, NMJ Rescue 786, I only got youngsters. You know, I'm not even a director of Rescue 786. You know that, Jafar. I've taken a back step. I made myself as a president, as an Amir, and my chairman and everything, all youngsters. You saw that youngster that was the MC yesterday. He's only about 26 or 25 years old. Mm. He's also, I brought him in. Young guys, they're running these whole services today. And that's it. Even in the burial, you see all our youngsters are there. So this is where we're bringing them more and more into the fold. And I'm training them to take over. And whatever I'm doing, the youngsters, I'm involving them into our services and our dini work, where they make it easier to take it. The legacy is there because the foundation is already set. Like how we got the Islamic Burial Council Foundation. Look at our cemeteries. Look at the service we give in terms of burial today, Shafat.
No, absolutely. Ahmad, looking at another message, Sikandar says, Assalamu alaikum. I remember having a lovely cup of coffee with some rusk. But I tell you, Brother Shafat, what a lovely show indeed. You and Ahmad really have given us so much of information. Tell Ahmad Padak, my duas are with him. And now and then, if you can give a few bucks, we will definitely give it to this man. Keep it up, Ahmad Padak and Shafat Ahmad Khan. Radio is already brilliant on a Sunday for us. The whole family enjoys the segment. Straight talk with Ahmad Padak. Ahmad, a lovely message from Sikandar. Your response?
Shafat, we must say, Sikandar, Jazakallah for getting up early and listening to us. And in fact, you know, our mission and our aim and object is one thing. Whatever I'm doing, Shafat Khan is doing, we're only doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. We don't need anything. Allah has blessed us with everything. What we can do, if I can save one person, assist one person, Allah will give me tenfold. That's where I always told my children, and I tell anyone, do good. And then, you know, like Maulana Ranka always told me, Ahmad, every time when he tells me, he said, Ahmad, you keep doing the good, you know. And yesterday I told him, Maulana, I've got one more project, which I'm going to be tackling in the early part of next year. No, two more projects. One, Shafat, you know, I'm going in January to go and source that X-ray machine for the Department of Health, and where we do not want to open our bodies for post-mortem. That's my one mission. The second last mission, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me, I want to open a fully-fledged Islamic hospice. That is my aim. And then I'm done. I have already served the community, whatever I want to achieve. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to get whatever I wanted for the community. And whatever you're doing is only for His pleasure, Shafat.
I tell you, Ahmad, really, you motivate me also, and alhamdulillah, I know both you and I have the same vision, and we want that green carpet treatment when we meet our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we're there in that world, inshallah, Allah will reward us for whatever we have done. Ahmad, your parting words this morning?
Shafat, you know, what I'm saying is simple. Wherever you can assist somebody, let them assist. You know, you don't have to be a lani to give 2,000 rand. Give 100 rand towards a dini project, whether it is madrasa, masjid, whatever it is, keep giving and Allah will give you tenfold. That is my plea. I also make humble appeals to the community that the service is for you. Assist us to grow this service to the other areas, outlying areas, where we'll be able to assist. And it is there for you. So now, today, we don't have to wait for the ambulance. You can make a call. From tomorrow onwards, we will be able to send the ambulance, take you to the hospital of your choice, and give you that service, Shafat.
Sh- Mashallah, mother, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.